connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
This is it. Shop the Lowe's closeout event to get up to 70% off select major appliances for your home. Plus, get up to 60% off select patio furniture and accessories for your outdoor spaces. So hurry into your local store today, because these deals are too good to last. Shop them now before they're gone, because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8/7 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
When you're ready to power up your next adventure, the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek has a 3.5-liter V6 engine, 295 horsepower, and 270 pound-foot of torque to get you there. From rocky trails and muddy paths to sandy dunes and snowy roads, wherever you're going, find your path in the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Her candidacy in full swing, presumptive Democratic nominee Kamala Harris moving closer today to making it official.
Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison made a historic announcement Friday.
Vice President Harris has earned more than a majority of votes from all convention delegates and will be the nominee of the Democratic Party following the close of voting on Monday.
And on a Zoom call with her campaign, Harris urged supporters she is full steam ahead.
As your future president, I know we are up to this fight.
Lee Shepard, ABC News, Washington.
The acting director of the Secret Service says his agency failed at security at the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, July 13th, when a gunman attempted to assassinate former President Trump. A report shows that includes communication with local police. Chevron announcing it's moving its headquarters from California to Houston, Texas. The oil company has been locked in a battle over climate change rules in the state. This is ABC News. Colorado is dealing with multiple wildfires, and at least one person is being investigated. One fire is being investigated as arson.
Colorado's Front Range has been plagued by wildfire this week, and now investigators believe the Quarry Fire in Jefferson County west of Denver was human-caused. Kevin Bost, Chief of Investigations for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, announcing,
we are actively conducting what we are calling an arson investigation.
That wildfire began on Tuesday, and firefighters say they are making progress stopping the flames. Alex Stone, ABC News.
That morning cup of coffee is going to cost a little more. Experts are blaming overseas conflicts and climate change, as coffee is more sensitive to changes in temperature than other crops. And it's not just coffee. Weather conditions, along with disease, are hitting the citrus industry, driving orange juice prices higher, up 30%. In the last year. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop. The all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Significant prison time for a drunk driver convicted of killing a man and seriously injuring his wife.
Brian Sippel of Oshkosh is sentenced to 28 years in prison and 15 years of extended supervision. At Wednesday's sentencing, Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney said Sippel was driving 90 miles per hour just seconds before crashing his pickup into a small SUV stopped in a light. The January 2023 crash killed 58-year-old Mike Hoffman of Waukesha and critically injured Julie Hoffman. Sippel, who has two previous drunk driving convictions, pleaded no contest in January. Raymond Newbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A decade in prison for a Milwaukee-area man who killed his sister in a car crash. Jared Korn of Cudahy reached a plea deal this week for the December 2023 crash. He's sentenced to 10 years in prison, plus an additional 8 years extended supervision. 22-year-old Sierra Hill died when their vehicle rolled and struck a pole outside of Leon's Frozen Custard on Milwaukee's south side. Korn had struck another vehicle and sped through a red light at 75 miles an hour. Korn, who was also critically injured, had a warrant for his arrest and no valid driver's license at the time of the crash. Milwaukee County tax increase hasn't led to increased revenue. Because of that, the county expects its budget deficits to grow as high as $19 million. The county's financial services manager, C.J. Paul, blames lower retail sales for the lack of revenue growth.
Our sales tax budget assumed a 3%, I believe, increase over last year's number. And when we're not hitting that, and we're not even hitting last year's budget, that's where we start to get in trouble.
Milwaukee County instituted a state-approved 0.4% sales tax hike at the beginning of 2024. The county's examining ways to offset the deficit, which could include using extra money from some departments. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Small town, big heart during the 141st Pierce County Fair, August 8th through the 11th at the fairgrounds in Ellsworth. Enjoy the great music of Johnny Cash with the Church of Cash Thursday of the fair. The truck and tractor pull is Friday at 8 and senior day is Sunday. Season passes and ride tickets are available at the Pierce County website, the Pierce County Fair office, and select merchants around the county. It's the 141st Pierce County Fair, August 8th through the 11th at the fairgrounds in Ellsworth.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat and humidity continues this weekend before cooler and less humid weather arrives next week. Clear and a low around 60 tonight. Sunny, hot and humid and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Isolated showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. High again mid-80s, cooler 70s next week. Looking for a change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently it's 87.
Hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Hope you're doing well. Jesse Allen with you here as we got a great lineup on today's program. We got a lot to talk about here on the show, so thanks for joining us once again here today for another episode of AOA. We're going to talk markets in just a moment with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. Coming up at segment two, we're going to have a conversation about the broader ag economy. I know there's a lot of concern there right now. We're going to talk with Tara Durbin. She is Farm Credit Mid-America's Chief Lending Officer for Agriculture. She's got some things to discuss and some tips and reminders to share with folks as we navigate this overall ag economy picture. So looking forward to that discussion coming up in segment two. Then in segment three, a few weeks ago, we talked about some of the risk of Chinese-made drones, potential spy software maybe being incorporated into them, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we're going to look at the other side of that issue, and we're going to talk with the CEO of Rantizo, who's also a member of the American Spray Drone Coalition. That's a new coalition, by the way. We're going to talk with Mariah Scott coming up in segment three, and looking forward to that discussion and getting the other side of that viewpoint when it comes to Chinese-made drones, foreign-made drones, et cetera. Then in segment four, we'll take a look at news headlines, including some of the latest earnings reports that have been released for the first half of the year for many ag companies. A lot of downturns across the board. We're going to talk about that and other news headlines coming up here in just a little bit. Let's start the show, though, and take a look at what is happening in the markets. Joining us now, Don Rose, U.S. Commodities. Don, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jesse. Just doing fine here in Iowa.
Well, glad to get you back on the program looking at obviously a market that has been under plenty of bearish weight in the grains in particular. I know here this past week, December corn broke below $4 for a little while. We're kind of just flirting with that mark right now. Beans have obviously been in a big downswing here for the most part. And as we roll the calendar into August here, Don, what's your perspective on this overall grain market picture right now?
Well, yeah, no, I think, Jesse, when you look at it, it's all about, you know, what's fair market value for this time of year. And, you know, this market has slashed down sharply lower since the first of the year. Funds have really just pressed into the market. Farmer got caught long. I think bottom line is we're at some fair market values for now going into that August 12th report. Then see once what the report looks like from an acre standpoint, probably down $1 million on corn, $1 million on beans, and we'll see what the yield is. Remember, in 2020, August 10th, we hit the lows. We thought we had a yield on corn of 181.3. We ended up with a 172 yield. That was the derecho yield and everything year and everything else, Jesse. But, you know, today, I think in the big picture of things, these markets have moved everywhere a lot. And I think it's a lot of fun moving around. The dollar today is down 1.1%, huge. We've got the equities down 500 points on the Dow. We've got gold up $30. We have the beef market, the cattle under a lot of pressure. All comes from the economy continues to get weaker. Unemployment at 7:30 this morning showed us that the unemployment is starting to go south as far as that is concerned. And interest rates on dropped 0.25% today. So I think what I'm saying, Jesse, is funds heavily short, kind of balancing back as all these outside markets are having huge moves.
Well, and I know here just a few days ago, we wrapped up the July Fed meeting and they held interest rates steady as expected. And they've been talking a lot about cutting rates in September. But to your point about this broader outside market picture and the economy and more, and you know, we see all these various losses throughout ag companies, et cetera, et cetera. Don, I know a lot of producers haven't been happy with grain and livestock prices here to some degree as of late, more so the grains and livestock. But your thoughts on that outside economy, I just know there's a concern across rural America right now, Don.
Well, there's a cratering across a lot of these things. If you really look at it, Jesse, you've had some of these equity prices have doubled here in just the last year. You've had farm values almost double in 3 years, and I think this thing just got too cooked up with the COVID funds coming at the market in a big way, not only in the U.S. but around the world. So now we're trying to stabilize this thing back. We took interest rates way up to kind of cool that down. And right now I think it's an adjustment on everything. And so I think the funds aren't sure what to do. They know their record short in the corn and soybeans, so they're evening back up here again. But there's no doubt the interest rate futures, which we trade yet, you know, here, they're down 0.25% today with the dollar down sharply. You know, that's positive as far as our export pace. And, you know, when you look at the demand side of it, of course, our supplies are negative. There's no doubt about it in the U.S., not so much true in the world. And we've got China starting to buy soybeans 2 days in a row. They bought soybeans and do have to point out that we're higher for the month of August in soybeans.
Yeah, a couple days worth, but hey, we will take it. And to that point, I know it continues to be a supply versus demand issue, as you alluded to. I think about this, and I've said this multiple times, and I'd love your thoughts on this. I know it's a tough conversation that a lot of producers don't want to have, especially if they're hanging on to any old crop right now in particular. But you have to be a smart marketer and manage your risk with the tools in the toolbox through this window right now, don't you, Don?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I think what you're alluding to is from what's the advantage for the producer? Two things. Number one, the basis levels in a lot of areas are stronger than they should be just because the price went down. End user can't get covered because the farmer isn't selling very aggressively. He will. So what probably happens, Jesse, is take advantage of the tight basis if it is in your area. The other thing a producer has is big carries in the market because we're expecting big crops. In other words, Dease corn's at 403. Next July, same crop, you're 439. So you have carries in the market. The tight basis is your advantage. Try and stay away from selling harvest pressure time frame. So get yourself in a position to battle through that. And we're really in an adjustment, Jerry, what I think, Jesse, we're trying to decide. Are we going back to the 2015-20 prices. For example, on corn, $3.50 to $4. In soybeans, $8.50 to $10, or are we in a new level that is higher than that? So we're going to find that out this year. We're going to sort it out, and we're in the process of that this year.
Definitely. Real quick, Don, how concerned are you about some of the geopolitical issues in the Middle East in particular? I know that's been a big talking point this week.
Well, I think it just tells you, you know, it's well put that the whole world is on fire now. We've got issues in the Middle East. We've got issues in the Black Sea. You know, the Black Sea, just a huge producer of grain. Yeah. So I think you have to be very concerned on it.
Okay, fantastic. I know folks can learn more at uscommodities.com. Don Rose, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Don Rose with U.S. Commodities joining us here on the program. Up next, we'll talk with Tara Durbin from Farm Credit Mid-America here on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Hey, y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue our program today, obviously a lot of folks talking about the overall ag economy right now, getting into a little bit of a down cycle. There's been plenty of volatility in the markets. There's just there's a lot going on. A lot of conversations are being had, either ones that are being talked about or maybe not being said, but you can kind of just get that sense in farm country right now. There's some things that are on the minds of farmers and ranchers. So we want to talk a little bit more about this and maybe some of the tools to help weather the economic uncertainty that we have in front of us here right now. Joining us for a conversation, she is Farm Credit Mid-America's Chief Lending Officer for Agriculture. Tara Durbin is with us here today. Tara, thanks for joining us on AOA. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, yeah, doing great. This is exciting. It's fantastic to join you this day.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. Let's kind of dive in and maybe give us your thoughts just to set up this conversation. I know USDA, some of their latest projections, net farm income down, you know, about a little over 25% here this year. I know that's going to mean a lot for producers across the board, farming, ranching, you name it. I talk about just your overall perspective of this economic outlook here for agriculture as we're working, you know, halfway through the year so far.
Yeah, so I guess I would start and just share that, you know, our farmers are resilient. And so although we are experiencing the beginning of a different type of ag cycle, you know, it's good that we're having this conversation today, because I want to remind folks that, you know, you don't have to navigate an evolving marketplace alone. And so, you know, Jesse, as you said, the projected net farm income being 27% lower, you know, it's agriculture has enjoyed the last several years of record net farm income, right? And so, as we know with any industry, financial cycles are always present, and that's no different for agriculture. So, you know, as we go into this cycle and it's starting to present some challenges maybe for some of our producers, you know, when we think about that, gross farm income's down, projected to be a little bit lower for still some time to come. But one of the things that I guess I would like to say is just keep in mind revenues are falling, but it's important to think about they're probably likely coming back to more historical levels of net farm income. And so, you know, for Farm Credit Mid-America, coming into 2024, you know, most of our producers that we serve here are well positioned for that decline in income as they entered the year. So they had enough working capital to kind of navigate that decrease, but it's more in the short term. So it's thinking about how do we adapt and manage costs quickly, and that applies to any producer listening to this today.
Well, and I think about that as well, and I like how you frame that up and said, you know, resilient, because it is the truth. Our ag producers are very resilient. We go through these cycles. A lot of folks have been through them before and have weathered these storms before, and so there are some folks who are in a pretty good position. What are some steps, though, that producers should be taking right now to be sure they are in a position to weather this ag cycle if maybe they're not quite in a good position right now? What are some steps they should be thinking about, Tara?
Yeah, so very at the foundation, it all starts with some of the best practices, if you will, financial best practices, is really just ensuring that, you know, you are keeping good records of your farm operation and you have a business plan for your farming operation. So that sounds very basic, but that is critical. And why I say that is it's adapting strong record keeping practices and then maintaining them over time really can empower our producers to help make more informed business decisions. And so, you know, I see it when we're working with farmers, having that strong records also plays such a critical role in the types of conversations that they can have with their strategic advisors. So, you know, when you think about that, that's your accountant. Obviously, you know, where I'm coming in, that's your lender, right? And so many producers can even use their strong record keeping and the history of their farming operation to show us that financial position. It can actually help them negotiate even best interest rates in the current environment. You know, farmers and producers, you know, think about managing their working capital. And so, you know, I just want to talk very layman's terms today. You know, working capital is a measure of liquidity. So, you know, provides farmers kind of that margin to withstand adversity. So working capital is really important. And so some of the ways they can do that is, you know, just having those capital reserves coming into the first part of the year is really critical this past year. We're now seeing more customers starting to use some of that working capital. Maybe they're putting down larger down payments just to mitigate that overall interest expense based on interest rates today. But we have to remember that to use that working capital wisely. And so don't deplete your reserves to a point where the operation is at higher risk. And so, you know, thinking about credit in general, you know, that applies to our farmers and just thinking about guarding against over-leveraging their credit. So in an environment where margins are getting tighter, you know, it's really a good time to look at the financial health of your operation. And a huge piece of that is just looking at your fixed and variable costs. And where can you make adjustments in that? You know, three of the key financial ratios that we would encourage producers to look at for their operation, talk to their lender about. If you're not sure, you know, what those ratios are for your operation, go talk to your lender. That's your working capital, your interest expense ratio, and then looking at that compared to your net farm income.
We are talking today with Tara Durbin, Farm Credit Mid-America's Chief Lending Officer for Agriculture. And Tara, those are all great thoughts and things to consider. And I like how you mentioned, you know, don't over-leverage yourself. I think that is so crucial as we see, you know, more of these conversations happening and more of these reports. I just saw a new report here today out from the Agricultural Economic Insights economists looking at non-real estate loan activity higher this year in particular for the ag sector. And so things like that. So I, and to your point as well about looking at the overall health of your operation, again, I think that makes some of those conversations with your lender, maybe towards the end of the year when you got to talk about your operating loans, et cetera, things like that, it makes some of those conversations easier when you know your position, right?
Absolutely. And I just really encourage all of our producers to have that group of trusted advisors that they can talk about. What are their business plans? What are their goals for their operation? It's critical to have an open, transparent conversation with your lender, especially about those things. And then that way your lender and you can have deeper, more informed conversations to help you in those decisions moving forward.
Yeah, your lender can't help you if you don't know what's going on. I mean, that's a simple way to put it. You know, you are there to help folks as a lender and other trusted ag advisors. Tara, this has been a great conversation. As we kind of wrap up here today, we got to about a minute and a half. Any final thoughts you would share with producers listening in, looking at the overall financial health of their operation here halfway through the year? Anything you would reiterate to them as we wrap up our conversation today?
Yeah, just a couple of things. You know, maybe even look at the top three risks for their farming operation. Now's a good time of year to look at those. You know, example, what if you experience a crop failure or commodity prices continue to stay low? Adverse weather conditions, you know, this time of year, you know, knowing those risks can help you create a solid risk management plan, such as incorporating crop insurance and safety nets that you need to have in place. Again, I said it in the beginning, Jesse, but our farmers, we know they are resilient. So it's just important to remind them they don't have to navigate an evolving marketplace alone. Use their resources, use those trusted advisors. And we encourage them to reach out to their financial officer early and often just to discuss their situation and any concerns that they have. You know, at Farm Credit Mid-America, we specifically serve customers in Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, Ohio, and Tennessee. But we're part of the Farm Credit System, which has a whole network of providers. And just really encourage them to engage and take that opportunity, especially this time of year, to prepare for a good harvest.
Yeah, and that's what we hope for, a good harvest ahead. You can learn more online about Farm Credit Mid-America as well, fcma.com. And with that, Farm Credit Mid-America's Chief Lending Officer for Agriculture, Tara Durbin. Tara, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the conversation. We'll have you back on the show again in the future.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, a few weeks ago, we talked about some of the potential risks of Chinese drones in the U.S., potential spying risks of those. Well, we're going to take a look at the other side of the viewpoint. We're going to talk with Mariah Scott, CEO of Rantizo, a member of the American Spray Drone Coalition. She'll join us next here on AOA. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
You're listening to a...
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. September milk down 59 to 2042. October down 44 to 2064. November down 27 to 2021. And December down 24 at 1940. Meanwhile, cattle markets were mostly lower. Hogs also mostly lower. Again, the complex is currently moving lower as the cattle market won't see any late week cash support. Box beef prices were mixed. The meltdown in the stock market also affecting live and feeder cattle markets. Hog markets also moved lower as well. The cash hog complex didn't see much support. Traders bought aggressively in the cash market on Wednesday, and that didn't help for the rest of the week. And again, that meltdown in the stock market also pressuring the hogs. August live cattle down 70 cents to 184.10. August feeder cattle down 350 to 249.65. August hogs down 95 cents to 92.20. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, wheat, all mostly higher. Better short covering in the grain complex in corn and beans and even in wheat today. Even though the weather looks to ease short-term stress into next week, China did pick up 220,000 metric tons of beans. Wheat markets also moving up, mostly higher. Rain issues affecting some of the harvest. New crop corn up 4 3/4 to 403 1/4. New crop beans up 10 3/4.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers.
AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for staying with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America, as we continue our program. A few weeks ago, we talked about this issue, and there's been some talk amongst folks in agriculture and a little more broadly about various security issues when it comes to foreign-made drones or things like that. Well, there's another side and another viewpoint to this potential issue that's out there that we really wanted to talk about. And so I'm very happy that we were able to get Mariah Scott, the CEO of Rantizo, to join us here today on AOA to talk about this a little more broadly. Mariah, first off, thanks so much for being with us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I know for starters, maybe if you want to give folks a little background on Rantizo, and then also I know you are part of this new coalition, the Spray Drone Coalition. So maybe give us a little background on that as well, just to start.
Sure. So Rantizo is the largest network of spray drone operators in the U.S. We manage that network. It's both our own pilots who in certain regions provide spray drone services, as well as a big network of independent operators who operate across the country. Last year, we sprayed in 35 states and we did more than 30 different kinds of crops. And Rantizo provides the tools that an operator would need to grow their spray drone business. So whether that is the drone, the insurance, the training, the software to help you really manage that business. We're trying to create that network and ensure that there is a supply of qualified, licensed, insured operators to meet the growing demand for spray drone services. So,
yeah. And how about the Spray Drone Coalition, Mariah?
So a few months ago, when this some of these legislative efforts around Chinese drones spun up, a number of us in the industry got together to start trying to create some awareness and some education around the issue in agriculture, because it's really quite different for spray drones. And we decided to form a coalition called the American Spray Drone Coalition with a goal of really representing and advocating for U.S. agriculture and maintaining access to the best technology for U.S. farmers and spray drone operators. One of the concerns, just to kind of highlight what brought us together, was that a lot of the security issues that are talked about with Chinese drones really have to do with imagery drones. So drones that might be used for mapping or surveillance or inspection. That's not what spray drones are used for. And the spray drones are used for crop protection. I mean, they're delivering pesticide, fungicide, herbicide, you know, and they don't store any chemical information for what's being applied. They don't, create video. Their cameras are used for making sure the drone doesn't run into anything in the field. So it's just a really different kind of technology from what a lot of the press has been around and the concerns around security, you know, if you're using a drone for surveillance of the critical infrastructure, which is a really different thing. And we wanted to make sure that farmers could continue to have access to the best technology and that we didn't get agriculture kind of swept up in these other concerns that don't really apply.
And I know as well, and thank you for that background, and you shared some various independent security reviews with me as well that I will admit I was unaware of here until just when you shared them with me a few days ago. But a lot of these security reviews as well apparently show either no or very minimal risks of any sort of, you know, Chinese or foreign, you know, hacking or data collection or things like that. The risk is very, very minimal to none, at least from what I'm gathering from these security reviews. Is that right?
That's right. There have been, I mean, DJI has, willingly allowed a number of independent security reviews over the years. They have not validated or found concerns. you know, I think that the need for data protection standards is a real thing. And that's one of the things in the coalition that we want to advocate for, is bringing together a whole group of people to actually put in place some data protection standards that make sense for agriculture. But that should apply regardless of where the drone is made. If you're concerned about your data being hacked or stolen, that's not limited to a drone that's manufactured in the US. I mean, it's not limited to a drone. You know, we have those same concerns with our phones. So I think the need for data protection standards is real, but I don't think that banning competition is necessarily the way to deal with those concerns. I think banning competition just gives people less options for the work that needs to get done.
And thinking about that aspect of this as well, just with the explosion, of course, of drone technology in agriculture in recent years, I know that more and more of our farmers are using this technology. And so, to your point, I would imagine if you start taking away various competition, it's going to make a lot of this unaffordable. A lot of this technology would become unaffordable for many folks, wouldn't it?
That's right. We would love to see great U.S. drone, U.S. spray drone options. But today, the best drones are made, the best spray drones are made in China. So we don't have a U.S. option that is competitive on price or performance or availability. So what would happen is, you know, the equipment that is available is harder to get, it's more expensive, and it's less capable. And so, you know, farmers who want to use this tool, you know, are not going to have access to it. And we think that's a hard place to be, that, you know, farmers need to be competitive with global markets. And in Brazil and China, they're all using, you know, this same technology. We want our industry to have access to the same great technology at an affordable price point. Today, spray drones are easy to use. They're affordable. You can get one, you can get trained, you can use it to treat your own fields, you can start a small business. We're seeing so many young people in rural communities get a spray drone and start a business providing spray drone services, you know, in their community. And it's a great way to create rural jobs. That's because it's an affordable and really capable tool that they can learn to use. And, you know, if that price point goes up two or three times, and, you know, it's not as capable because the U.S. industry is a little farther behind, that's just a hard place to be. So we would really like to see more investment in U.S. industry, not just banning the competition.
We're talking with Mariah Scott, the CEO of Rantizo here. And I wonder about this. You brought up data protection earlier, and I'm sure there are going to be folks listening to this conversation and saying that regardless of what you say or I say or anyone says, they're worried about their data protection. I mean, I think about our cell phones, our computers, laptops, et cetera, everything that's connected digitally in some degree. There's always that threat of someone out there potentially taking our data, collecting our data nefariously, things like that. So, I mean, to your point about, you know, protections against data collection, I mean, how are some ways that Rantizo and other folks can lead in this area to make sure that data is protected? Because I know data is a huge talking point amongst farmers.
Yeah. That's a great question. One, like, super easy trick: you can use the drone in local data mode. If you use the drone in local data mode, it doesn't upload information to the cloud. I mean, if it's just like using your laptop and not connecting it to the internet. So if you don't want to share your data, you can, many of the DJI drones have local data mode, and you can just use them not connected to the internet. So your data stays right there. That's one thing. There are also software platforms. Rantizo is one of those. Our platform, AcreConnect, you can store data there. You can create your maps and have your flight logs and your chemical records of what you're applying. You can keep that in AcreConnect, which is agnostic to the type of drone. So it will work with different drones. And that's another way to store data, you know, with a U.S. company or in the U.S. Those are kind of, you know, tactical, simple things that you can do. It's also important to kind of think about what data we're trying to protect and what other sources there might be for it. At least with spray drones, you know, they don't store the chemical data, and the kinds of sort of like a field location data that a drone might have, that data is publicly available from other sources. So I think when you kind of break down the fear, which is a real fear that we do need to continue to look for standards that can help protect data, and then you kind of look at the reality of, okay, what data does a spray drone actually have? Most of that data or all of that data is available from a USDA map or on Google Earth or satellite imagery. So I think those are just things to keep in mind when you kind of think about the data privacy issue or the security issue.
Okay. Well, we are up against the clock. I really appreciate the conversation here. I know it's one that has, of course, opposing viewpoints, and there's going to be continued discussion on this, but we thank you for joining us and giving us your side of the story here. And I know folks can learn more about Rantizo at rantizo.com. With that, Rantizo CEO Mariah Scott. Mariah, thanks for being with us on Agriculture of America today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, coming up next, we are going to take a look at Ag News headlines and wrap up our program. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Hi. We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Courtney Hall, Senior Director of Sustainability with CHS, talks about carbon markets and opportunities for farmers. Courtney, what is on-farm carbon?
Farming, just like anything else, puts carbon into the air and is part of the carbon cycle. So carbon is emitted into the air when we farm. Plants grow by using carbon as building blocks, and the soil can be a source or a sink for carbon depending on management practices or weather events. What's really exciting is that the world is starting to understand that agriculture not only provides food, fuel, and fiber, but it can also be a solution to reducing and removing carbon.
Why are we hearing more about on-farm carbon?
there's a general desire to reduce carbon. Governments and the private sector are starting to understand in greater detail the sources of different carbon emissions, but also what solutions are out there across all sectors and industries. For industries that depend on agriculture, like food and fuel, they're looking for ways that are scalable to reduce carbon impact in the products and services there.
What benefits could farmers see with the addition of carbon-reducing practices?
What I've seen as being successful is thinking about managing for soil health versus managing for carbon outcomes. When you're managing for soil health, you might be managing for things that improve issues you might have. For example, if you have erosion or you're looking for better infiltration of water, you might try no tillage or cover crops, but it really is farmer dependent and outcome dependent.
How could farmers learn more about ag carbon programs?
We just did a quick assessment, and there's over 24 programs out there. It's important to do your research, ask questions. If you do get solicited, understand what the benefits of the program are and potential risk. There are some organizations that can help you work through it.
Thanks for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, it is no secret that farmers and folks in rural America are feeling the pinch right now when it comes to the economic conditions that are out there. And we're seeing some of that reflected now in more earnings reports from various ag companies. Welcome back to AOA. Let's take a look at ag news headlines and global bumper harvests, a downturn of crop markets, and slowing demand for farm equipment are shrinking profits and lowering the future outlooks for some of the world's biggest companies throughout agriculture. St. Louis-based Bunge posted earnings of $1.73 a share in the second quarter. That's the lowest since the start of COVID in 2020. The results also missed analyst expectations by as much as 10%. Now, Greg Heckman, Bunge's chief executive officer, commented in part saying, quote, current market conditions have improved in some regions, but we continue to have limited visibility into the latter part of the year. The drivers of long-term demand remain strong, and with our global footprint and operating flexibility, we are well positioned to connect farmers to consumers to deliver essential food, feed, and fuel to the world, end quote. Now, global grain merchant ADM shares, they dropped 2% after the company missed Wall Street expectations for second quarter profits, which were hit by lower soy crush margins and fading demand for U.S. crops. First half revenues for ADM were down 10%, with earnings down 42%. The company's ag services and oilseeds branch suffered a 56% year-on-year plunge in quarterly operating profits due to multiple challenges. ADM chair of the board and CEO Juan Luciano said in a company release that, quote, in the second half of the year, improvements in both crush and ethanol, our efforts in operational excellence, the focus on our key priorities, and our team's agility give us confidence in our full-year expectations despite uncertainties in the external environment, end quote. On the equipment side, farm and construction maker CNH Industrial lowered its full-year profit forecast for the second time as slowing tractor and combine demand mutes recovery hopes. Second quarter revenue for CNH was down 16% with net income down 30%. Crop protection and seed companies such as Corteva and FMC saw their earnings and revenues drop as well. Corteva reported sales down 3% and earnings down 2% last quarter, while FMC reported revenues down 17% with net income up 28% in the first half of the fiscal year. That's on the back of course, everyone hearing about the John Deere issues and the layoffs with John Deere and their concerns about the ag economy. AGCO reporting sales down 14% in the first half and reporting a $199 million loss as well in the first half. Now, I want to frame this in a little bit of context. I know a lot of these companies are coming off of record profits and earnings here in the last couple of years for many of these cases. They've had a lot of good years, so some of these numbers could be a little skewed looking year over year, but still I think the consensus is that folks are feeling the pinch across the entire ag industry, farmers, ranchers, companies, and really a lot of folks throughout rural America. And it's something that we talked a little bit about that with Tara Durbin from Farm Credit Mid-America earlier in the show today. It's something that we've been resilient and we've weathered these storms before, and we'll have to do it again here, it looks like, for however long this next down cycle lasts us. So again, a lot of profits, a lot of profit downturn for many global ag companies. We're going to continue to watch as we move forward. China's quest for becoming more food secure is getting interrupted by extreme weather challenges. Torrential rains and floods have battered most of the nation in recent days and weeks. The South China Morning Post says that's threatening the productivity of a farming industry that's already lacking in efficiency. The Chinese government issued 238 million yuan, equivalent to $32.8 million in emergency funding for recovering agricultural production in five provinces. The funds will be used to help curb agricultural losses and to lay the foundation for a solid autumn grain harvest, which would likely make up most of the year's food output in the country. Now, China's been pushing for increasing food self-sufficiency, but increasing occurrences of extreme weather events in recent years have made it difficult. Beijing began the push for self-sufficiency to help feed its extensive population of 1.4 billion people amid the increasingly uncertain global food market. Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas is leading a bipartisan letter calling for the Treasury Department to restrict the eligibility of the 45Z tax credit to renewable fuels made only from domestically sourced feedstocks. The tax credit goes into effect on January 1st of 2025, and it has the unintended consequence of incentivizing foreign-used cooking oil over homegrown soybean and corn oil. Now, the letter says what makes it worse is the government doesn't verify the legitimacy of used cooking oil imports, and much of it is believed to be fraudulent. Now, since 2023, used cooking oil imports from China and other countries have averaged over half a billion pounds a month, resulting in downward pressure on American corn, soybeans, and their derivative products. The letter says, quote, "This drop in soybean prices corresponds to a loss in production value to American farmers of at least $5.4 billion," end quote. And even more when they calculate corn losses is another added piece from that letter as well. So all in all, looking at some of the possibilities here of some of these used cooking oil imports, there's been a lot of talk about this. And as we continue to kind of navigate this whole 45Z tax credit, sustainable aviation fuel future, and hopefully we're going to get this right. We've had a lot of folks on the show talking about the need to get this right. There's many pieces of this puzzle that have to go together, and this seems to be just another piece that has got to be figured out. To me, it really doesn't make sense why we would want to have a tax credit that has potential loopholes that incentivizes feedstocks that aren't grown here in the U.S. This is supposed to be something to help our markets and help our farmers, not farmers in China or Brazil or some other country that are sending their product here to the U.S. and it's being imported and being sourced for some of these renewable fuels. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And so hopefully we can get this all figured out and get this lined up correctly. All right, with that, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up on our next program, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. Mike Adams is going to be sitting in the host chair for us here on our next AOA. For now, I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy, the teachers, the growers.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them.
Oh no, they're about to.
Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating